Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to today's show. Today is the day when we broadcast simultaneously with Building Your Extraordinary Business. So momentarily, we will be joined by Mr. James Taylor of Mr. James Nemley, of Building Your Extraordinary Business and our honored guest, Mrs. Jennifer Sertle. So we will be joining them momentarily, and we are just waiting on them to get to us. And in the meantime, I just want to play our team song for the Vision Weekend Conference.
There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul.
Well, hello, Mr. Jim.
Hello, Daphne. You never guess who I have with me.
I bet you have my sister Jennifer with you.
I absolutely
Hey, Daphne. Do.
I've already introduced her to my audience. Now, why don't you introduce her to yours?
Well, hello, my sister Jennifer. And, of course, she is no stranger to my audience here on Blog Talk, because she has spent time investing in their empowerment in the past. And I am just so honored to have her here. Jennifer is a global teacher, a thought-provoking teacher globally, not only in the U.S. She is known across the world for the caliber of work around transformation that she has done. And it is such an honor to have her on this platform to continue to do the work that she so greatly believes in. And there is not enough that I can say that will enhance the caliber of work that this amazing woman does. So I'm just going to allow her to tell the world what else she's up to now and why she is on the platform.
Daphne, thank you for that kind introduction. As I was just sharing, I really think it's exciting for your listeners to be on the program before the new year, mm-hmm. because so much of our success has to do with our planning and our preparation. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in Denver, Colorado, and I loved the first snowfall. I would always go and try very hard to be the first person to put an imprint in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of the new year is, how can we help both of your audiences prepare so that when they put their first imprint in the snow, it really sets an imprint that they can carry out the rest of the year?
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful, wonderful. And James and
yes.
Jennifer, I have a caller who is calling on my line. So is it okay if I put the caller live?
Absolutely.
Okay. Hello, caller. Your first three digits are 302. Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please? Hello, caller. Your last four digits are 1229. Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
Good evening. My name is Dorothy, and I'm calling from Wilmington, Delaware, but I did not want to say anything. I just
okay.
came to the line so I can listen.
All right. Well, thank you, Dorothy. If you want to say something, just press 1 and raise your hand. We thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, back to you, my co-host, Mr. Jim.
I love it. No, Jennifer, I love the name of your company, Agility 3R. And the three R's being resilience, responsiveness, and reflection. Can you tell the audience about what that means?
Absolutely. And Daphne, Jim had quoted a quote about the lion and the gazelle
mm-hmm.
as he opened up the store, as he opened up his show. And I actually saw that and read that for the first time when I was reading Thomas Friedman's book, The World is Flat.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Before I had read that book, my company was called the Customer Service Alliance, and I was doing employee satisfaction surveys, customer satisfaction surveys. And when I was hit by that quote, what ended up happening to me is I thought not about competition, but about conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And I started then thinking, if I was truly helping my clients condition and get a great condition for the business climate, rather than reporting their status, you know, what would that mean? And I thought, given that so much is going to change, technology is going to change, social media, the macro, how we communicate, not what we will communicate, but how we communicate will change. I thought, what can I do to create a constant that no matter what changes occur, helping people practice these things will help them stay competitive and in great condition, regardless of technology and regardless of the macro environment. And it came to me that practicing Agility 3R, resilience, responsiveness, and reflection, that no matter what, our ability to be resilient, which is our ability both to bounce back from failure, but resiliency is also how diverse of experiences have we had? Because the greater the repertoire, the more experiences we have to draw upon. So when we think of resilience, we think of that. And how many people are afraid to fail, and that they actually have the same experience over and over again because
mm-hmm.
they don't want to stretch and build resilience and build resiliency. And so I want you to think of resilience being twofold and how quickly you learn from experience, but also how broad and deep and diverse are your experiences.
Mm-hmm.
you will be more competitive and in better condition if you have resilience in those terms. When it comes to responsiveness, we don't interpret it in terms of reaction. We think of it in terms of awareness. How perceptive are you? And how accurately are you reading the landscape? And so what we say is no matter where you work or what you do, your true competitive advantage is actually the accuracy of your observations and the way you articulate your life experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so responsiveness has a lot to do with how perceptive you are and how you're scanning for accuracy. And again, you know, I don't think any of us has a complete picture of reality,
right.
But I think that there are ways that we can actually see clearer and more accurately, if you will. And then when I go to reflection, and I especially think in our culture, in Western culture, we are so busy and we drink so much coffee. I'm one of the guiltiest myself. I have coffee here while I'm speaking with you and Red Bull. But I think our ability, though, to learn and to grow is our ability to build in space for quiet reflection.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a discipline, and it feels like you're not being productive. It feels like there's so many things that you need to do, but the truth is the people that I know that are extraordinary and are doing great things, they have a real discipline to build in open space. I think good ideas, I don't think we actually come up with good ideas. I think they decide who to land on. And you have to stand still enough for ideas to land on you. So our practice, Agility 3R, is we work with both individuals and companies to help design in practices around resilience, responsiveness, and reflection.
Wonderful.
And it's so important today, especially when you look at the fact that, especially for newer businesses as they're launching out, you know, once upon a time you could fail and still hang around for a while until possibly making it work, or you could turn right around and try it again. In today's economy, failure is not an option because failure means extinction. So being more agile, as it were, the way that you're discussing, it is the way to go. It's the only way to go, as a matter of fact. I don't suggest anyone test the waters of entrepreneurship without first going through what you're exactly talking about right there.
Yeah, and I don't know if you run across this, Jim, but I find a lot of people have amazing ideas, but they don't have the discipline to get their thoughts on paper.
Absolutely. No, I run across it every day.
So for the listeners that are there, and even Daphne, I know the last time I was on your program, I urged people to get a journal.
Mm-hmm.
As an idea that isn't written down, it's really hard to track, measure, and make sure that it's growing or that you're learning from your experience without some discipline to record your thoughts.
That's right.
And I think a lot of people that are starting businesses, they have great ideas, but the difference between an idea, innovation, and actually, you know, running a business is the idea that the idea has traction and you're leveraging the idea. And I think people stop at having an idea and don't really think, what do I need to do to leverage the idea? Jim, you probably have a lot to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what we do is we go through an extreme process called vision, mission, and corporate culture. And we go through the visioning process. And the visioning process deals, what I want to do first is I want you to look at where you want this particular great idea to take you. All right, I want to look at how we're going to couch this particular pearl of yours. So when we look at the vision, we're looking at where you personally and where as a company you want to be in 5 to 10 years. All right, so what I want you to do is I want to stretch your mind out. Now, that I call that the destination. Then we look at your mission. People put together mission statements, and they really don't know what they're talking about. The mission is supposed to be the things you're going to do in order to get to your destination. that becomes the vehicle. Now we're looking at a vehicle. We're looking at a particular type of vehicle that's going to be able to go to a particular destination. Now we focus in on the corporate culture, because the corporate culture is the fuel that's going to go into that vehicle that's going to take you to your destination. And now we begin to structure what you're going to need internally, whether it be employees, associations, no matter what it is that's going to be done internally, that's going to give you the octane necessary to go into that tank. Once we've done that, now we then turn towards development of the business plan, and that development of the business plan now has a place to go. All right. With before that, it's you're building a plan in space, but now you have a place to go. This is where we now start transforming your idea into something that's going to take you to that destination, and will there be a vehicle that's going to be able to move it down its track? So it's an extreme process that we utilize.
Daphne, were you going to say something?
Go ahead. Go. I'll come in after that thought you were going to say.
Oh, okay. I just think that the most important word there, I think, is discipline, is that there's real discipline in the planning, and there's real discipline in the foresight, and
mm-hmm.
then there's real, there's the follow-through. And
totally.
Regardless of people, running a company or just really wanting to be fulfilled in the work, we can't escape the discipline factor and writing things down. I know there's no escape, and I want to be kind of a voice of just inviting people to be extraordinary and follow through and to do the things that are necessary. I think everybody wants to win, but very, very few people are willing to do what it takes to win.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
right.
I think your audience is extraordinary, and so therefore, if I hear about anyone that doesn't make it a discipline to write down, I don't know how many people have to tell you to write things down, but please do. Please make that difference,
mm-hmm.
that new habit.
Mm-hmm. I don't like the verbalization. Just like you say, it's got to be right in writing. And then when you put it in writing, then it has to be tested out. And there's a lot of different methodologies in which you can do to test it out without losing money. We go about doing that when we start doing projections and we start doing the research that's necessary. Everything that you're saying, Jennifer, is right on the mark. It's always been important to do what you're saying. It's always been important. But in the economic environment that we're in today, you just can't launch off the diving board, because 9 times out of 10, there's no water in that pool.
Yeah.
Why?
Absolutely.
Okay. And based on what Jennifer has so eloquently laid out and Jim's thorough process that he just mentioned, why is it you think it is of vital importance that each and every one of us, especially entrepreneurs, Jennifer, adopt a new paradigm shift in our thinking? Why do you think that's of vital importance?
Well, one is just that the habit of writing things down, I think, is a level of commitment that actually creates opportunities and actions. It's almost like, how serious are you? As soon as you're serious enough to put an idea on paper, I think that it actually is a statement to the universe that there's some serious, that you really want what you're talking about.
Right.
The other piece is that even if you're a sole proprietor, very rarely are you successful alone. And there begins to be so many different moving parts that it's really important that you track. Like, there's two, from my perspective, there's two reasons. One is, when you have things written down, it's easier to manage and make shifts as necessary. The other is that I think our brain is always being inundated by new information and ideas, and I think we almost need something that's a center point for us. It kind of clears the noise. I think once we begin to write down our plans and make a habit, I mean, for some people, it might be a simple practice of once a week, looking at the week and saying, what have I learned? What would I do differently? or what do I imagine for the week ahead? For some of you, it might be a daily discipline or an annual, you know, but there's something about writing it down. The other piece is that, you know, when you see a photograph of yourself over time, you get to see how you transform. Very rarely do people actually track how their thoughts transform. And so when you have a written document, you begin to see over time, are your ideas bigger? Are you thinking differently? Are you using different adjectives? How are you shifting? And I think of myself who I began a journal when I was 8 years old, and it has continually been a touchstone for me. In fact, I even tell people that tweet and use social media that you must have a private journal that you write in old-fashioned with a pen or a pencil, because I think the soul needs privacy in which to emerge. So there's that whole piece of personal writing versus public writing, but there's something about the commitment to the paper that I think helps people be more organized. It helps you track over time.
You know, one of the other things is looking at leadership. And most entrepreneurs do not consider themselves as leadership. But I know, Jennifer, in your book, you and your co-author has just so diligent and eloquently illustrate leadership. And what are the new components of leadership that you think is important to us as entrepreneurs and as business owners?
Thank you so much for that. You know, the first thing I would say is that if there's an opportunity for two people to have a conversation, there's an opportunity for leadership. And so the idea that anytime you're in the presence of someone else, you're modeling. And modeling communicates much more than anything that a person reads. I think it's how we learn as children, it's how we learn as adults. So I always want to tell people that you may not know it, but someone's looking at your behavior and deciding how to become.
Yes.
And so be mindful of that.
That's right.
I was very lucky enough to write a book with a gentleman named Kobe Huberman, and what was really beautiful about it was that we had met at a conference in actually 2005, and built a friendship over Skype because he lived in Tel Aviv, Israel, and I lived in Rochester, New York. And over a commitment, so I'm going to slow down a little bit and say that any of you people that are actually going to conferences and meeting people, I invite you to find one other person there that can be a thought partner to you and also accountability partner for you. But that person that you select should be very different from you and should live in a different place, in a different time zone. That person, because you can't travel all the time and get reference points. You know, I talked about before that your competitive advantage is the accuracy in which you see the landscape. If you become a friend to someone whose landscape is completely different than your own, you then get to learn and glean from their wisdom as you grow. And have an accountability partner. So Kobe and I became friends and just made a discipline of connecting. Every 2 weeks we would have a Skype call, and they were so interesting that we ended up having them transcribed so we didn't have to write notes. We wanted to just immerse ourselves in the great conversation we were having. And then over a period of time, we actually looked at the notes and realized that there was a story being told, that everything we had to talk about had only three themes. It either was about strategy, it was about leadership, or it was about the soul. And the soul just being that interpersonal part that makes a person individual, or the set of beliefs that makes a company a unique company. And he wrote about trans leadership, which is in a global economy, your ability to create virtual relationships with people that actually have different culture, different faith, different ecosystems, different lifestyles, is you have to transcend your own environment in order to create value in the global economy. So we came up with some practices we believe will help people be trans leaders, is what we call it. And the two most important, I mean, you go through the list, but the two most important we think are your ability to manage your energy, and we believe that energy is infectious. and that that you can communicate in 140 characters on Twitter. I know I can make people happy or sad. I can make people feel hopeful or depressed.
That's right.
In 140 characters. So the first thing about trans leadership is really realize everything you do has energetic value, and you know, you have to be mindful of the energy that you're when you're touching something. Are you bringing it to life? And believe it or not, we actually, people often have a different ethic. They take care of other people better than they take care of themselves. You know, you've heard of the adage, don't treat people different than yourself, and that many of the people that I know are actually abusive to themselves. I'm like, no thanks, don't treat me the way you're treating yourself.
That's right.
In order for people to do what they need to do, they actually have to do better at taking care of themselves. And if and I call it conscientious narcissism. You know, there are narcissists, but I think to survive, to some degree, we're all narcissists. We see things the way we see things, and we're all trying to survive in the way that we see fit. And it might be elegant, it might be selfish, but it's the truth. We're all seeing things based on our point of view. Conscientious narcissism is realizing that I see things in my point of view and other people see things in their point of view as well. But two things I'd say about trans leadership is people need to take better care of themselves so that they can be more mindful and present when they're in the presence of others. Mm-hmm. And that when they're in the presence of others, they need to be managing their energy and realizing that so much happens because of word choices and that chemistry of their presence.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Back to you, Jim.
I was going to ask Jennifer, why don't you tell our listeners how they can find your book?
Absolutely. Very, very excited. First of all, I want to thank Triarchy Press. Is a press in the UK, and they have several books on organizational structure. They've done a lot on the different ways from a hierarchy to different ways that organizations organize themselves. So we were really honored and lucky to be able to be published by them. And today, really, you can go on Amazon and get our copy there. And that's probably the best way is through Amazon, just because it's a little bit less expensive. As Triarchy hears, I do hope you feel appreciated. But I would go to Amazon. And it's, I just want to say, if you look at the cover of our book, there's a lighthouse. And the lighthouse is twofold. I was very excited. I got my undergraduate degree at the University of Colorado, and I got my degree in existential philosophy and was deeply, deeply impacted by Immanuel Kant, who was a German philosopher, but he was the very, very first philosopher that actually wrote about subjectivity and the idea that everyone experiences reality differently. And we know that now. But when he wrote about it for the first time, it was pretty revolutionary. And we put a lighthouse on the cover of our book for two reasons. One was to kind of honor Immanuel Kant and the idea that you're someone that is like a lighthouse. Your ability to stand still, be grounded, and shine clarity out will allow certain to you.
Right.
And so many people are moving so quickly that, I joked a little bit about the fact that we don't have ideas, ideas have us, is that when you're grounded, at least you're in a place in which ideas can find you. And also, the book, it has a first section is about business strategy. We talk about how business models have changed over time. Then the second component is about leadership. And the third component is really about self-awareness in you. But it really can be summed up by you're the lighthouse, stand still, and shine, and things will come to you. And the last, if you need a metaphor, talk to me, because I think in the world of metaphors. But I just want to, it's a occupational hazard, and it's either a gift or a curse, depending on if you like them or you don't. My husband, is at the point where he kind of rolls his eyes a little bit, and here's another metaphor from Jennifer. But I think of where we're living now as a buffet, especially in the United States. we are very, very lucky. Many of us have education that we might take for granted. Many of us have food that we might take for granted. And if we live in a buffet, and how many people do you know that can go out to eat to a buffet restaurant and walk around the buffet, not have a bite, not do anything but say, I wonder what's here? And then after seeing the entire selection, choosing only the food and the amount that will truly nourish their vitality.
Mm.
You know, we are inundated with people we can date. Even if you're married, you're getting bombarded with Facebook. Things you can read. There's so many articles you want to read. You want to see all these TED Talks. You want to, you know, blah, blah, blah. You can only absorb so much.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stand still and discern that muscle, discernment. What will truly nourish the plan that I've written with Jim? What will truly fuel the plan that I have for myself? What will truly fuel my ability to be stronger in the areas in which I said I need to grow in 2012?
Mm-hmm.
You have to decide what you need before you step into the buffet.
Beautiful. I want to take this opportunity to remind our listeners that they can call in. Our honored guest is Mrs. Jennifer Sirdle, who is an author and a strategic expert advisor, and she's a global thought-provoking teacher. And you can call her.
You are now in the host queue.
Question. The number to call is 347-202-0754. And I will check. I think my guests have a question. Let me check and see if that's her, or I'm not sure if it's on Jim's side.
No, it's on your side.
Okay. I want to bring my guests on live. Hello, do you have a question? Your last four digits are 1229. Hello, do you have a question? 1229, question from you? Okay, I guess not. Over to you, Jim. I thought I heard somebody in the host queue, but that's okay.
Not a problem. Jennifer, also tell them how they can how they can either reach you personally or how they can find you on the internet.
Absolutely. I absolutely love Twitter. To me, is like a megaphone to the world. And so the strategy that I'm using on Twitter is really to share information about strategy, leadership, and the soul. And I'm at Jennifer Sirdle, just at Jennifer Sirdle, at Jennifer Sirtl. Or my website is agility3r.com. And I can also be reached at Jennifer@agility3r.com.
And
terrific.
What can they expect from you coming to the conference? Why should they be at the conference to hear you, Jennifer?
There's something about the environment. And when, Daphne, I think you have done an amazing job over the last 6 years traveling and meeting people that you handpicked people that really kind of give you a spark when you shake their hands.
Mm.
So there's one thing about meeting one person that can make a difference, but when you get the chemistry of all of the people that you've brought together, I think it's really, really transformational. And I think what I am excited about is that because I don't know your listeners personally, I'm thinking of how can I create value based on things I know from my clients and people that I have met in the past. But when I have people right in front of me, I actually can read them pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about the personal touch to be able to personalize a message and say, I think this is where you're blocked, or I think this is what you might do differently. And to get that level of attention, I cannot wait to really meet people and be able to touch them, like physically handshake them, as well as look at them eye to eye and really see them. I think the word intimacy, if you break it down into
me, you see. Yes.
Yeah, so I think there's going to be a level of intimacy that, you know, because of you, Daphne, I think the people that you've gotten together are extraordinary. I know Simon Bailey, I actually have been to his conferences in the past and have highly recommend him personally, and Kobe Huberman was my co-author. So I could, you know, and you, so I can always tell you that I'm honored to be there and that you can't have that kind of an environment without being changed at a cellular level.
That's right. And, you know, I keep telling people, I said, don't wait around, because get your registration now, because people really don't understand the level of transformation that is getting ready to take place in Times Square there. This is history that will be made, and people don't want to miss it. You got to be there. You don't want to only be reading about this. You want to be part of that revolution.
I think it's also about readiness. I know that I think there are moments in time where I can tell you from experience that many people don't realize how much their own environment keeps them stuck. And that, you know, in my house, if it gets too cold, the heat will immediately come on. And if it gets, you know, over 70, the air conditioning will come on. And, so we keep the house between 65 and 70.
Mm-hmm.
And it naturally turns on and off. Everybody lives in an environment where there's a homeostasis that occurs. And so if you get too successful, you'll bump up against some things and then kind of minimize your success. And then if you start going down the wrong way, you kind of bump up against something and minimize it, you know. Mm-hmm. And unless people can actually create a new environment at a higher temperature with a peer group that's at that higher temperature, I don't think that the shifts can actually be sustainable. I mean, in rare cases they can, but most people really need to actually create an entirely new peer group in order to be able to thrive at the level they can naturally. I believe most people minimize their capacity to belong.
Yes.
I think belonging is more fundamental than excellence. And so I think when you get yourself into an environment like the environment that you're providing for people, Daphne, I think you actually get enough time away to experience enough anchoring that you can truly transform and create relationships that will help you so that you're not alone as you transform.
That's right. Because in order for us to move ahead, and this is where the synergies that we speak about is important, because we are in a time now where 1 + 1 does not make 2. That's 11, because that's how we are going to move ahead. And this is what we are providing for the people who come to that, is when you'll have the opportunity and you'll have access to the same synergies that we personally have for ourselves. Because we cannot do it alone, and neither can you. You have heard so much from Jim and Jennifer this evening, and if that is not enough to tell you where you need to be on March the 23rd, I really don't know what it is. But I'm just so amazed each week when I listen to each of the presenters come, and I say, my God, they are not on the platform yet. Can you imagine what it's going to be like there on March the 23rd through the 26th? Oh, Jennifer and Jim, you know what one of my Facebook friends in Delaware said? He said there's going to be so much energy in that hotel, the fuses are going to be blown.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Jennifer doesn't know this, but you see, I live on Long Island, so I could just hop the train and be in Manhattan in no time. But I plan on bringing my wife and staying there through the entire conference, because I can't imagine being away from the Broadway Millennium Hotel. I can't imagine being away from it during that period in time when all of this is going on. Because when I'm not up on the stage, I am going to be sitting on the side with a notebook.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Jim. I think what makes us a little bit unique is that, like, I don't see of myself as an expert. I see of myself as a student. And I need this experience as much as anybody. I need to be reminded of the habits that I need. I need to be reminded that I'm not alone in the discipline. And it's just such an important discipline for me to be part of that environment. So I need this environment for myself, for my own development and growth.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Just
absolutely.
Like myself.
If our listeners, and I tell this to my clients all the time, the time I get up in every morning, doesn't matter what day it is, it's 5 a.m. and I put 2 solid hours in of study. So, why do you have to study? Well, I study both theology as because I'm also an ordained minister, and I also study business. Well, but you're a coach, you're a trainer, you're a consultant. Well, if I'm not putting it in me, where
that's
am I getting it to give to you?
That's right. That's right.
All right. There's a lot to learn every single day. And when you stop learning, it's time to hang it up.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Wow.
So I hope people will understand that it's about March 23rd through the 26th, the Broadway Millennium Hotel. That's at 145 West 45th Street, New York, New York. And what you need to do, you need to register today. Just go to Daphne Clark Hudson. That's Daphne, D-A-P-H-N-E, no space, Clark, C-L-A-R-K-E, Hudson, HUDSON.com. Go there right now, all right? Go there right now and register. Register. Also, we're looking for vendors. So if you are a vendor and you want to be, now this is the 23rd through the 26th, there's going to be heavy traffic there in the hotel. Now imagine if you were a vendor and you came down with a couple of partners. Now, this is what I mean by that. You come down with a couple of partners. Can you see how you're able to capture business to your location based on who's going to be there? And with this list of speakers that are going to be there, the place is going to be packed. Daphne, why don't you tell our listeners who's on the program from the 23rd to the 26th?
Okay, well, I'm going to start from New York up, and my co-host this evening is the first New York speaker. We have Mr. Jim Nemley, and he is the CEO of the Better Business Builders. Then we have Ms. Chandel Pitts, who is a graphic designer, and she's the creator of the magnificent logo you're looking at if you're on the website. Then we have my honored guest who is on this evening, Mrs. Jennifer Turtle. And we have Mr. Edward Foxworth, who is also a native New Yorker. He's the son of a Black Panther, and now he resides in Detroit. And he is very excited about coming to his home state to invest in his people. Then we have Mr. Kobe Huberman. You heard Jennifer mentioned him. He is the co-author of Strategic Leadership on the Soul alongside Jennifer. Then we, all the way from Hawaii, we have Mr. Brian D. Ridgway, who is a transformational mentor and teacher. Then we have from Arizona, we have attorney Ariella Mitchell Durant. She's a copyright attorney. Then we have Mr. Stephen Jackson, who is a new media guru. He's one of our panelists. Then we have Miss Yolanda Webb, who is the CEO of Elan Cosmetics and Elan Magazine. And then we have Mr. Sam Orm, who is the CEO of One Voice Worldwide, headquarters in Atlanta and in the UK. Then we have Mr. Will Crawford. Mr. Crawford is a joint venture expert and a millionaire. Then we have Miss Crystal Washington, who is a social media expert and marketing strategist. Then we have Dr. C.J. Cohn, who is a business development consultant, along with her husband, William Cohn, and they are the owner of Dominate Your Destiny. Then we have Mr. Leon Ellis. Mr. Ellis is a restaurateur, entrepreneur, and motivational speaker out of Harlem, New York. And then we have our keynote speaker, Mr. Simon T. Bailey. You heard Jennifer mention him earlier on. And Mr. Bailey is number three worldwide in the speaking arena. So you know that everyone that is on that platform is well knowledgeable and are there to invest in you. And I'm honored to be the host of the conference and the founder of the conference. So back to you, Jim.
Well, if that doesn't get people excited, then I don't know what will. I honestly do not know. I'm ready to hang up now and head on into Manhattan. Only I don't like waiting on, you know, waiting around for stuff to happen. And it's happening March 23rd through the 26th, so there are no excuses. Jennifer, from your vantage point, right, when you're preparing business owners, entrepreneurs for moving forward, and they have this much time to prepare themselves, what's a list of things they need to do to get themselves ready for this conference?
I think, you know, to be consistent, I think buying a journal,
mm-hmm.
I think beginning to I liked when you had talked about your strategy, Jim, you talked about kind of the vision of mm-hmm. you know, where people want to end up. I think people yep. beginning to think about the life they want to live, and if they see things that inspire them to begin to cut out pieces of paper or print out images, you know, just be hyper aware of things that I kind of live my life like a scavenger hunt, and I know that there's certain things that seem to be illuminated a little bit, but things that that are attractive to me are things that make me pay deep attention. So I'd say, you know, get a journal, be more attentive, you know, certainly register, but you know, begin to also design in what I'll call open space. And that is a concept that I ask people to consider, is the idea that you have 200 watts of brilliance a year. Or I'm sorry, 200 watts of brilliance a month, like a light bulb. You know, you might get a 60-watt light bulb or a 100-watt light bulb. But think of the fact that you might only have 200 watts of brilliance a month to deploy. And what you begin to do is actually carve out a percentage of them to not spend, but to have open. And getting some of the ideas and the inspiration and things that you're going to get at the conference, you will need time to deploy. So
right.
begin to look at your calendar. In our home, we have an 18-month calendar, and then we design for the 90 days. So I think it's almost a 90-day between now and the conference, and thinking about, you know, what do you need to do to clear up space so that when you go, you can actually come back and not be hurried, but have open space in which to process what you've learned and put some of the things that you've learned into practice.
Beautiful. Talking about preparation, you know, when people mm-hmm. ask me, where do you find success? I always say success can only be found at the intersection of opportunity and preparation. Mm-hmm. You have to prepare yourself to take advantage of opportunities in order to succeed. So you're dead on the money. And right now gives everybody ample time to get those journals and begin to prepare. You know, it's never too early to look ahead. When Thomas Watson, you know, founded IBM, he sat back and pondered what the company would look like 30 years down the road. And he started looking at the markets that they could enter with the company and the needs that they were going to be able to service. And he saw how large it could be. and he's doing this now as an exercise. He sees how it can go international. He saw all of that, and then he sat down and he started writing down what he was going to need to get there. Then he came back to day one and did just that.
And you know what I like about everything here? None of the other speakers over the weeks had laid that out, and Jennifer just did it so well this evening, is helping people to create their intention before they arrive at the conference. So when you come there, you are going to have your intention. You know what it is. And she gave you...
They're going to have a head start.
Get that.
I do, you know, just thinking about when I saw, I went to Santa Barbara when I saw Simon Bailey the first time, and there's one thing he said that stayed with me forever, and I always give him credit when I say it, but whoever has your ear has your life.
Yes.
And I just think, you know, like if you know, just think of all the different people that are going to be there. If there's just one thing I say that you can say 5 years after the conference, I learned this from Jennifer Sirtle, I will feel so honored. Because I'll tell you, when I met Simon, that is the one thing that I've remembered every time I've interacted with him since. I always say, Simon, you have no idea. If someone has your ear, they have your life. You know how true that is. And it's just amazing how one statement can be so life-changing.
And I want to just publicly, Jim, to say now, that statement had such a profound impact on her so much that when we met early on our relationship, she said, there's one person that I want you to meet. Have you ever heard about Simon T. Bailey? And I said, no. And Jennifer is the one who introduced me to Simon. And I just want to thank her for that.
Wow. Awesome.
But that's awesome. Like what happens when someone impacts your life in such a way, you can't, you almost feel like you're doing a disservice unless more people get to hear
that's
from that
right.
person.
And that's what it's all about. Yes.
So my thing that I want to people, again, like I just think that if there's one thing I could be remembered for, I would like to be remembered for this, is that it isn't where you work or what you do. Your competitive advantage is the accuracy in which you see the landscape and the way in which you articulate your life experience. The accuracy in which you see the landscape and how you articulate your life experience.
That is powerful.
We
that
all
really
have our
is
experiences.
Powerful.
Each and every one of us have our own unique experiences. What are we doing with these experiences? This is powerful. Woo! And it's not the conference yet, guys. You see what you're up to? Woo!
Oh, if they don't get it together now, if they don't, they've got a problem. I think that by now there should be a lot of folks registering for this conference, because now that you've heard how, you know, it's so funny. I think that, and Jennifer, by the way, you've changed the way that I think. I just want to let you know that right now. Because, you know, I asked the question, what should people be doing in preparation? And I threw that out there as a question. But as you were answering the question, it really hit me. Wow. You know, I need to do the same thing. I need to take a look at who these speakers are. And I need to start preparing myself so that when I'm at that conference, I'm not scrambling around trying to figure out what to learn. I'm going to know exactly. I'm going to have that all etched out so that as I move beyond the conference on the 24th, I'm able to implement what I receive. So thank you, Jennifer, for that.
And the other thing I think we need to let the listeners know, Jim, is that each and every one of the attendees will have the opportunity to hear from each speaker. This conference is designed not to have breakout rooms, because we know and we realize how important each person is. And we would not be doing justice if we allow each speaker to be in a separate room. Each person is coming and they are giving authentically what they are to the audience. So everybody will be hearing all 15 speakers. You will not have to be choosing what workshop to go into. You will be getting it all.
There you go. Now you heard that, folks. You're not going to miss anything. So all you need to do is get to that website, and Daphne will give it to you again in a moment. Get to the website, and once you're there, register. Because once you've registered, now you can sit back and do exactly what Jennifer said in preparation of what's going to go in March. One of the things I don't want to hear from people, and I say this to my own clientele, you know, you could sit and you could moan and groan about your problems all you want. After a while, nobody's listening to you. You have to do something about that problem. If you just love that problem so much, you know, ladies, have you ever had a sore tooth and you just, your tongue keeps finding it and probing it and pushing it? Am I the only one that does that? All right. Have you ever had a sore tooth and you just keep bugging it with your tongue, and after a while your tongue is sore? All right.
Well, absolutely.
If you don't get to the dentist as soon as it begins bothering you and have it taken care of, well, then you can't groan and moan about it hurting you day after day after day. You have the ability to do something about it. And in this economic environment, if you're not doing all you can outside of what you normally do to turn your business and your business life around, then really it's just like that sore tooth. You really don't want to get it pulled. You just want to sit back and moping on that. You know, a lot of folks love to they go into what I call a pity party. Mm-hmm. You know, have you ladies talked to business owners that are in a pity party?
Their
conversation usually sounds like this. Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. You know, they come in with all that. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. There are solutions, but you have to take the first step.
It's all about action. All about action.
Mm-hmm. All about it.
So now we want to direct you to go to www.daphnecklarkehudson.com. And the amazing thing about this too, we even have an affiliate program that people can sign up for and earn $100 for each qualified person that registers through them to come to the conference. So hey, if I were you, I would get busy, and at least you could register enough people that cover your expense to the conference. So,
That's right. We
try to make it very easy for you. I'm just so honored, my sister. I thank you. I thank you so much for taking time out to be here, not only because you want to be with Jim and I, but because you believe so much in investing in the lives of other people. I love you so much.
Thank you so much. I can't wait to see you in March.
I can't wait either.
Yes, one more time, Jennifer. Could you let people know how they can get your book and how they can get to your website?
Absolutely. The book is Strategy, Leadership, and the Soul, and you can get it at Amazon.com. And I'm at Jennifer Sertle, just Twitter, at Jennifer, JennifeSertl. And my website is Agility 3R.com, or send me an email, Jennifer@agility3R.com. And I am so thrilled to be here, and I really look forward to meeting people in person. And if you were on this program and you are coming in March, please come to me personally and just let me know. And I'm just so thrilled to meet you. And you also have so much to teach, you know, the listeners. When you come, you will be surprised at how much you make a difference for some of the other people that are going to be there. All of our stories make it happen.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. That's for sure. That's for sure. Daphne, who's on our show next Monday?
Next Monday, we have Mr. Brian Delaney, and he's going to teach us how to leverage the social media and how to position ourselves through the right keyword choices.
Ooh, that sounds very exciting.
Yeah.
Well, we have about 5 seconds to go. So, folks, I'm going to thank you one more time. Thank you, Jennifer, for being on the show. And can't wait for our next show next week. Have a blessed and profitable week. And everybody, have a good night. God bless you now.